Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, and the season's in full swing. The action's still unfolding, so head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. With so many storylines across both professional and collegiate sports, this is the time to check out all that DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer. If you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate the showdown in Happy Valley, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when placing a bet on either Ohio State or Penn State. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick either Penn State or Ohio State, bet a dollar on them, and cash $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code KSN during signup. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Dustin. We are talking about the Penn State-Indiana game. Real quick note there on the DraftKings. I checked the spread for Penn State-Ohio State. The DraftKings spread right now, Dustin, is 12.5 points. But boy, that's been moving. It started at either 8 or 9 points, made its way already bet up to 12.5 as we record this. Going to be interesting to see where that number ends up. But hey, if you could sign up and bet a dollar to win 100, you got to take advantage of that, correct?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, it's an interesting line to try to interpret. I'm curious where it's going to go between now and Saturday, too.
Yes, it is very crazy. I'll tell you what, though. Someone asked me this over the weekend to predict the line. I predicted 12 points, and when I found out 9 went open, I said, oh, boy, I'm surprised. That seems a little low. Well, I guess I was right. It's been bet up already to 12.5. Dustin, we spent the first two segments talking about the biggest plays of this game, which was that final two-point conversion, the Devin Ford touchdown, but there's so much else that went on. Let's get to some of it. Let's start with Sean Clifford, the quarterback that you predicted would have a Joe Burrow type year here. He had a couple very bad interceptions. They weren't just interceptions. They were bad ones. Bit of an uneven performance from him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you can say that. And I think the discouraging part of that is, you know, in that respect, very much looked like the Sean Clifford of 2019. And you know, a lot of people really believe that the prospects of this Penn State offense, the prospects of this team depended on him being better than that. And those are two interceptions that unfortunately are not all that uncharacteristic of him. You know, what happens with him, and I think it happened for the first, you know, roughly 30 minutes of this game when Penn State struggled so badly outside of that first drive, is that the game seems to move very, very fast for him and flusters him into doing some things that he wants to take back, that he wishes he could take back. And, you know, I think in that way, this was the same Sean Clifford as last year. Now, it's one game. It's one half of one game. And I thought he looked pretty good and pretty in command of both himself and the Penn State offense in the second half of this thing. So maybe that's something to build on. But I think you watch that very closely. And, you know, I think anybody who believed that, you know, in order for Penn State's offense to truly be better, Clifford had to be better. You can't come out of that Indiana game, even after watching the third and fourth quarters and overtime, and say for sure that Clifford's better this year than he was last year.
I think what we can realize is, and we knew this last year, he's a gutsy kind of kid who, you know, that long run for the touchdown, some of those late touchdown passes that he had, he's a gamer. But you still have the issues that you talked about, that excitable boy kind of thing early. and getting flustered and making mistakes. Staying at the quarterback position for a bit, Dustin, we talked about this all off season that Sean Clifford wouldn't carry the ball that much. Well, it seemed to be we didn't follow that rule in this first game. Thank goodness, because that was needed. But Will Levis came in a couple times on short yardage situations, came in third and short, and I believe, what was it, a too much time penalty, correct?
Yeah.
And then the second time he fumbled in the red zone. And I'm going to call that a bad fumble because not only was it the defender forced it, but Will Levis, and this wasn't talked about, he had the ball, he was carrying it on in his inside arm, not the outside arm, away from the defenders. So this whole idea that we were going to get Will Levis in there to take some of the punishment and run the ball in short yardage situations, that just fell flat.
And I've never been a big fan of that approach, you know, and I think it's always a hot topic of conversation when the Saints do it, because the Saints have really cleared this path with Taysom Hill that, okay, you have a big physical, you know, former quarterback, you can play this hybrid role, but you do have the fact that, you know, this player is cold coming off the bench. This player is not involved in the down to down activity of the offense. How in rhythm, how in sync, how is he in the flow of the offense? And then, you know, what do you end up getting out of it? It's almost like gadgetry for the sake of having a gadget. And that's sometimes how it feels. And that's how it felt like in this game. And it felt like all the bad that can come from doing this can't, you know, that's what happened for Penn State. You're going to have better outcomes in the future. You do have a player in Will Levis who's got a skill set that's different than Sean Clifford's, and it can be utilized. I think you need to utilize that. But sometimes it just feels so forced, doesn't it?
It does, and I've been actually different from you. I've been kind of a fan of this for multiple reasons. As you said, Will Levis has a different skill set, and in short yardage situations, you think in terms of even just being able to move the pile, Will Levis could do that, but I was just very disappointed in two things. Obviously, the fumble, but the bad penalty. That, and I'm not sure that's on Will Levis. If you're in a situation where you know you're going to put him in on a third and short play, you've got to be better prepared as the coaching staff. Look, when this happens, it's like when the team is getting ready to punt, you know, you have the punt unit ready and boom, you get them out there quickly. If you know you're going to do this with Will Levis coming in on a short yardage situation, you should be able to do that quickly without the problems that they had there with that penalty. So I was very disappointed in that. Another part of the offense, Dustin, remember a year ago when they had four running backs and we wondered how they were going to rotate the four? That seems so long ago now. Obviously, Ricky Slade was gone. We have Journey Brown last week, a outside football medical issue, may miss the entire season. We now have Noah Kane with an apparent ankle injury. We're down to Devin Ford and a couple freshmen. That was a big change in this game, too. You talk about those short yardage situations, you think Noah Kane, don't you? And Penn State, what's been forgotten here, is fairly late in the game. They had a fourth and one where they were stopped. Does Noah Kane get that first down? Just how much effect does this have on that running game?
It is absolutely fair to wonder about this. And I think this would be exhibit A of why Penn State's coaches say we recruit running backs as hard as we do and as many as we do for moments like this. You can go from, and it's the same at, you know, a lot of positions, but quarterback too. You can go from having too much depth to being incredibly thin in no time whatsoever. Penn State is living that. I think, you know, Noah Kane is a better inside the tackles runner than Devin Ford is. He was more ready to be an every down back than Devin Ford was. Devin Ford, I think we've seen probably needs a little bit more time as a sidekick before he's ready to really step into that feature back role. But that was thrust upon him in the first quarter of this game. And I, you know, you have to give some credit to the way the Indiana's defensive line played. Maybe you can wonder if Penn State's offensive line should have been better. Maybe you can look at and say, you know, they needed to be a little bit more inventive when it came to the types of runs that they called, especially with Devin Ford in there as opposed to Noah Cain. Probably all this is part of the conversation, but I do think that Noah Cain finds more success. You know, maybe I don't know, you know, from a personality standpoint, he's played more pivotal downs than Devin Ford has to this point. Maybe he's the guy that doesn't score a touchdown when he shouldn't have scored a touchdown. So it's fair to wonder. I think maybe they'll be a little bit more better. They'll be a little better prepared next week if they don't have Noah Cain, because this was not thrust upon them. And I also think, you know, look at what Kevon Lee showed in flashes. He showed some of that Noah Cain type ability. Maybe all these guys are more prepared for bigger roles against Ohio State.
And you hope that the coaching staff will call plays that will fit them better. You're right, especially between the tackles. They always talked about Noah Cain falls forward. He'll get the 3-4-5 yard run. So there were several places where that could have made a difference. When Journey Brown, when they made the announcement that he was going to be out at least for a good part of the season, you thought, well, they're still all right. They still have enough depth. But once Noah Cain left the field, all of a sudden they were not nearly as deep, and I'm not sure they used the running backs correctly, took full advantage of their skill set, which also leads to, in talking about the running backs, in that first drive, I think it was on the 6-yard line, first and goal, they ran 3 running plays right up the middle. And it wasn't until 4th down when they did the little play action. Freiermuth was wide open. I was looking for a little more creativity from the new offensive coordinator. That was a specific instance, but also in general. What did you think?
I thought in that sequence, I was looking for that hard play action. I thought we were going to see it a play sooner. And I think it was all a setup for that particular play. Now, running that play three times in a row for a setup on an all or nothing 4th down play? I have questions about that, but I think it was all designed to get Indiana to bite harder and harder and go over the top the way that they did. I would have expected on 3rd down and not 4th, but it worked.
It did, but. I'm with you, Dustin, that waiting the 4th down when you only have 1 shot at it, there are so many things that can go wrong. A penalty, we talked about it. Sean Clifford maybe being a little excitable, a guy wide open, and he tries to aim it instead of throwing it. A lot could go wrong on 4th down. All right, that is it for quarter number 3. Still lots more to talk about. Stick around for quarter number 4.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. Get in on all the football action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.